You know what? I'm starting to like LA a little better now, guys. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm rich now, so it's all good.
That certainly helps.
It, you know what? It does help living in a big city and having a little bit of extra cash, a little bit. As people know, I always make that joke on air where I'm prime time and I'm rich. And every now and then I have to, you know, tell people, hey, I'm joking. I'm not really, you know, filthy rich. I am rich, but not, I'm a little rich. Well, we had a really fun guest on the show today. Fishkin from Gone Fishkin here on Adobe Radio. I was on his radio show a few weeks ago, and it was such a blast, man. He was, when I first met him outside of doing his show, he was very like shy and introverted, and I was like, okay, I don't know what his radio show is going to be like, but man, full of energy on his show, so much fun. His knowledge about music just blows me away, and such a good, kind-hearted guy, and it was so much fun having him on my show today. And his show, Gone Fishkin, is on Adobe Radio at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 9 p.m. Eastern? Yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm getting better at math, guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Fishkin. It's all good. Oh, there it is.
Ooh, this is funky.
It's my brother's.
I love this.
Yeah.
We Sam.
Dude, welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
You have a great radio voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I was chugging some coffee beforehand. I DJed till like 2:30 last night, and my voice definitely was a little rough this morning.
It doesn't sound rough.
Thank you. You
sound smooth, Fishkin, as always.
Aw.
Dude, you've been waking up early, you told me.
Yeah, so when I agreed to do your show, I definitely put something really derogatory in my phone to remind myself that I had to be up at 9:30 in the morning. I called myself a word. I'm very uncensored. It's a word I can't say on air.
You can say it.
No.
No, okay. All right.
It kind of sounds like what?
Oh, okay.
So it was wake up early for We Sam's show, you what?
Okay.
If you guys use rhymezone.com, not sponsored, you could probably find, yes, exactly. You will see it rhymes with poophead. But I was like a little scared, and then I got hit up to get to DJ last night after I already committed to your show. And I'm like, I'm not gonna cancel on WeSam. I don't do anything early ever. I need to do this. And then I had an epiphany last week. I went to like one boxing class that I joined the gym, and I was like, getting up at 7:30 every morning, running like 2-3 miles. It's very, very off brand for me.
What's the motivation behind that?
I need new promo pictures. I have a few weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to lose some weight?
Yeah. I chopped all my hair off too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was like about this tall last time. You saw me probably.
A little bit. Yeah. You're looking good, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You're looking good too.
You have a good energy about you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think that it has to start there, because no matter what happens on the outside, you know, you can work on it and everything, but if it doesn't start on the inside that you have, you know, you like yourself from there, whatever happens on the outside doesn't matter.
Exactly. And currently on the outside, my eyes are, my voice is warmed up, but my eyes aren't. So we got the sunglasses on.
That's why he's wearing glasses. So everybody doesn't think like he's like being like rude or whatever. No, he just doesn't like, they look fine, but you don't.
Physically, my eyes are still not open yet. It is before noon on a Saturday.
Your future is too bright.
Yes, exactly. My future is so bright. And so is the new studio lighting.
My live video just ended for some reason.
Oh, no.
That's so weird.
Oh, we crashed the servers.
We crashed the servers. Let's see if we can share it again or save it, and then let's go live again for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
That's so funny. That's probably what happened.
I think so. I don't think the world was ready for this crossover.
No. No, sir.
You know there's like going to be 37 and a half fan accounts. I say 37 and a half because one's going to be suspended for sure. We don't know if it's going to keep going or not.
It's going to be erotic.
It's going to be, yeah, exactly. It's going to be Free the Fish.
Free the Fish.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. And then.
Or Fish the People.
Fish
that might be our Foster the People cover band too.
Fish Key. Quiche Fish.
Yes.
Fish Quiche.
Ooh. Fish Key.
Fish Key.
Yeah, I like Fish Key.
That's, well, We're in uncharted territory right now. So our listeners can get a little bit of a background on you. You're originally from the East Coast, you said?
Yeah, I'm originally from Long Island.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you come out to LA?
About 4 years ago, I moved here now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And you're loving it.
I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
But you've been with Adobe for like 18.
I've been with Adobe since I'm 14 years old, so coming up on like 12 years.
Oh, 12 years. I don't know why I said 18.
And actually yesterday, not to cut you off, sorry.
Yeah.
It was 6 years since I met Adobe Tom and most of the Adobe staff.
I don't know Adobe Tom. Who is he?
Do you see all those cameras? He's behind all of them.
Oh, that's Adobe Tom.
Yeah, he's like the wizard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
No one's ever actually met him except for me when I was 20. I might have been on a vision quest to Joshua Tree or something.
Maybe. Oh, you know what? Tom is definitely the thing, the person or the entity you see on a vision quest.
Oh, you shit your pants.
I'm kind of jealous of you because of your knowledge of music. And
oh, thank you. I'm jealous of your knowledge of film and TV.
It's not a lot. And I'm embarrassed to say that. When people are like, oh, you know this actress? I'm like, nope, got to see her face. And then they show me her face. I'm like, nope, don't know her.
Okay, now I feel better about the entertainment industry because I'm the same way. Like, yeah. I'll use Adobe Tom because we moved out here together. And he'd be like, oh, my God, that's blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what and what?
See, I am so bad at that stuff. But you've kind of been immersed in it since, you know, especially like way before you came into Adobe, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So basically started out, I was a kid model for a little while. So I always had that itching for it.
Yeah.
Like some sort of entertainment in some way, shape, or form. I never really pursued it because I was like every East Coast kid. I wanted to play for the Mets.
I'm sorry. Is everything okay, Michael?
Yeah, I'm turning on the TV.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was like, something is going on behind me. I need to address this or I'm going to feel crazy.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I wanted to be a baseball player forever. Yeah. And then I wanted to be an astronaut. And then astronaut, then a baseball player. I don't know. I was really indecisive as a kid after I quit child modeling because apparently it was super cold at a shoot in Central Park. And I cried. And I was like, Mom, I'm never doing this again. And my mom, being the good/bad mom she was with this situation, she's like, oh, my son doesn't want to do it. I don't want to push him to do it. It's something he doesn't want to do. And I'm like, in retrospect, I hate her. But also in retrospect, I love her.
That's the best kind of mom you have. You don't want somebody who's like one of those stage moms who are like, exactly. No, do it. Perform.
Yeah. Yeah, like my little sister did acting and stuff most of her life too so far. And she'll be like, I don't want to go on and blah, blah, blah. They're like a temper tantrum as every teenage girl does or teenager in general. And my mom will be like, at least I don't have to drive to the city.
Yeah. Dude, those little kid beauty pageants are the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never watched one.
That is so bizarre. And it's so detrimental to the child's upbringing of what beauty really is, you know? And then competing with other kids. Can you imagine losing that as a kid?
How
would you feel?
I felt bad that I lost in I think it was the 8th grade talent show. But my band is fresh coming off the 7th grade talent show. We killed it. We won. We played American Idiot by Green Day.
Wow.
We wore button-down shirts, neon ties.
What'd you play?
I played bass in the first band. The second one, I played guitar.
Oh, cool.
And we lost to a girl. Granted, the cover was not good. I just watched a video recently. We covered a Blink-182 song. I think it was, like, the hardest Blink-182 song to play. The song Not Now, which is on their Greatest Hits album.
Yeah.
And we lost to a girl who a cappella, like, I think off the cuff, wrote a song about Jesus at a Catholic school. And I'm like, that's cheating. That is cheating right there. We said, God damn it, and you said how much you loved God.
Yeah. Know your audience, man.
We were punk as fuck.
That's hilarious. I mean, that's at least the school let you do that.
Yeah. They had no choice.
They had no choice?
Yeah. They almost had a lawsuit on their hands if they didn't.
Oh, wow.
Nah, they didn't. But I think I could have if I was a wise ass in high school and played guitar and did the stuff I did now,
be in trouble.
Maybe they would have kept me on there or put me on their notable alumni section by now.
Do you still play any instruments?
Yeah, I still play guitar and bass and a little bit of like MIDI keyboard stuff messing around. So like some of the commercials you hear on Adobe, like I started doing them recently. Eddie will send me, Eddie, our program director, he hosts It's News to Us every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
He always sends me voiceovers and stuff.
Right.
And we had this like royalty-free music, which is really cool to put on. And I just got sick of it one day. And I like dusted off my keyboard that I moved out here with and barely use. And like just started making music behind it. So a lot of the music you'll hear with Eddie's voice behind it is stuff I wrote.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You have that artistic outlet as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, haha, got on the radio.
Who, if they want to listen to the episode I was on with you, they can just go to the Adobe site, right?
Yeah, they can go to the Adobe site, and it's the second to last podcast I did, I believe.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Guys, seriously, I had such a good time with Fish on his radio show, and you could tell like you've been doing it for a long time. I'll be completely honest with you. When I first met you, I thought you were super shy. You know, and you were super like introverted. And then when they told me like, oh, he has a like a radio show, I'm like, what's he gonna talk about? He barely talks. Okay. And they're like, well, he plays music. I'm like, okay, probably like 80% of it is music then. And he's like, and the next song is Green Day.
That's how my show that's how my show started out, actually.
Really?
Yeah, when I started doing in my bedroom. So I filled in for Guns. He has like one of the longest running shows here on Adobe. So that's actually how I got into Adobe. I saw a MySpace bulletin, this band Envy on the Coast posted, and they were like, tune into the Gun Show. And I was like, in, I think, 9th grade at the time, or 10th grade.
Yeah.
And I tuned in, and he's like, hit me up on AM if you have requests, blah, 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 blah. So I did, because I was a little kid. And he's like, do you have the song? I'm like, yeah. And I just knew how to like steal music, rip files, and convert stuff.
LimeWire.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I had a better site than LimeWire. It was called It Leaked at the time.
Yeah.
And all my friends had the same login. Just we threw one friend under a bus and used their name. And it was like 200 of us using it for sure. But tuned in and like I started producing a show for my room. And then 4 or 5 years later, he had to air some interviews, but he had to go to a festival to do press.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I fill in? It was like after I did a little bit of college radio at the time. Mm. And I hit up Tom on AIM also.
Wow.
Yeah.
AIM.
Yeah, and he approved it. And
rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly. AIM, not Tom. Tom is alive and kicking. Oh, yeah. Not, let me. Tom is still alive. Can't confirm.
If you want to listen to the rest of this story, we're going off, so make sure you tune in Thursday, but we're going to continue here.
So,
bye, guys.
So I filled in for him, and the first time I went on air, it was after the Giants home opener. And it was filling in for Guns. And like being the little shithead 21-year-old kid I was, it was like a half a bottle of Fireball before I got to Giants Stadium. And I went on air at like 9 o'clock that night. And I was definitely hammered.
Yeah.
And I went on air and I was like, hey, what's up? It's Fish. You're listening to Gunshow. Here's my favorite song. And then I kept
I called it.
Yeah. It's exactly how I did it the whole entire episode for probably the first 6 months of my show.
Wow. 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 You know, no, it was so... It was so surprising, you know, coming into the studio with you in here and then immediately, like, the energy shifted. And I was like, oh, this guy not only knows what he's doing, but does it very, very well. It was a pleasant, pleasant surprise.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I purposely didn't listen to any of your episodes beforehand because I kind of like doing that. And I think you do, too, as well.
Oh, I love that.
Because I want to go in there with a clean slate. I don't want to have any preconceived notions or prep for anything. Mm-hmm. I think it's always funner and more organic that way.
Oh, 100%. And yeah. I didn't actually end up watching Free the People or anything.
Still for the People.
For the People.
Yeah, oh. Free the People. That's fine. Yeah. That's another show. No, I'm kidding.
That's a different station.
You bastard.
Yeah, For the People. And it's still early, in all fairness. That's what time is it? 9:58.
That's so not early for me.
But I haven't watched it yet, and I want to watch it. One, I don't have cable.
That's
so
fine.
So I have to wait till it's up on streaming, which I believe it gets streamed right after.
On Hulu.
Yes. So I have to find someone, take their Hulu account.
Great.
And I'm going to get all caught up on WeSab.
You mean you're not a millionaire already in your life?
That no,
you
can afford I,
a Hulu account?
I'm sorry. No offense to you or Hulu. I pay for Netflix. I pay for HBO Go, Viceland.
Oh, Vice has their own thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love Action Bronson's show on there. That's delicious.
He's an interesting dude. I feel like I am new to him, and I can take him in doses.
Yeah. I could watch him all day. He reminds me of like a lot of people I grew up with around.
Yeah.
Because he has that like Queens accent and he's just so like passionate about food. He'd be like, this fucking coffee, it tastes like a Brazilian coffee tree with plants nutted in my mouth. And I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? But I get what you're saying. But what did you just say?
Dude, isn't that nuts how the internet has allowed us to, like, be exposed to all these, like, characters?
Yeah, it's so overwhelming.
Very. There is this Korean comedian YouTuber, and I followed her on Vine when Vine was up.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Vine.
To Vine and not the Viner.
And not the Viner, exactly. When I was saying rest in peace, it was to AIM, by the way, not Tom. I know we're bringing that up again, but because AIM is gone, and I know Tom is going to give me shit when he sees this and be like, so you think I'm dead, huh?
Oh, he saw it already. He had to.
Probably.
He's bugging this room.
So HemTube, her YouTube is called HemTube.
Okay.
And she's one of the quirkiest people I've ever seen in my life. And I follow her, and a lot of her videos are in Korean. I don't know Korean. And I'm watching them. I'm like, I get that. I get that joke. How do I get that joke?
Is it the body language she uses?
It's the body language. It's the tone. It's the inflection. It's the little graphics she puts into her videos and the reactions. I mean, it's really, really funny stuff.
I'm picturing you watching this. You watched Friends, obviously, right?
I've seen Friends.
Okay. I never watched it religiously. Yeah. I've also seen it, but one episode I saw was like when Joey was trying to learn French.
Okay.
And he's like walking around with a tape deck. It's like the 90s. So the tape deck's like three times the size of the iPhone. And they're like saying something and they're like, say it back.
Yeah.
And he says it and he butchers it, but the tape goes, good job. And he's just like, yeah. It's one of my favorite scenes in television history.
Yeah, that's basically me looking at, I'm watching my computer screen like a psycho. I'm like, ha, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
No, I just, there's so many people like that I follow. Nostalgia Critic. Have you seen him on YouTube?
Nope.
No. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Do you guys know Blake Weber?
Yeah.
Wait. I love Blake Weber. I think he's the funniest Instagram comedian. He's the one who does all the voiceovers.
Yes, I follow him. I know what you're talking about. But it's kind of the same thing in it's the same voice, right?
Yeah, it reminds me of like The Office. I don't have to continuously watch it. I just could get what's going on the second I tune in.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What's his name? He does those things, the Snapchat where it's the other person's voice or face on your face. He's a comedian, Kyle Dunnigan. You guys know him?
Mm-mm.
Oh man, one of his videos got removed from Instagram. He was putting Michael Jackson's face on his face. Dude, it's one of the most brutal like comedy videos I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad to listen to, but it's based off of like the whole documentary off Michael Jackson right now, The Finding Never, what is it called? Neverland. Yeah. What a weird name.
Never Have I Ever Land.
Never Have I Ever Land. That's a whole different place. It's filled with drunk 20-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's getting their first kiss during that.
I got a question for you.
Hit me.
So this is something I've kind of talked about with my friends, and I've heard a lot of different answers about it. Let's say Michael Jackson, with all this like controversy, he did it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think from what all the evidence shows is like, all right, something seemed to happen. I don't know. I haven't read everything. I'm not really up to it. But let's say he did do it. Should radio stations pull his songs off the air, do you think?
That's a really tricky one where you have to like it's a shot question, to be honest.
It's just
a shot question. Like,
oh, what does that mean?
Like shitty, like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like no right answer to that.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I'm asking it. Like, I just don't know. Like,
you personally, like, I'll twist the question to you.
Yeah, please.
Just so I don't have to answer it. But it'd be like, if you hear Thriller and everything turned out to be true, is it going to send a weird chill down your spine?
Here's what I would have to think about. Let's say those were my kids.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I can't in good conscience be like, oh, Thriller, remember, guys?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's so messed up. I'm not really a huge fan of his music, so it's just like, ah, I'll just change the channel.
Yeah.
And so I feel like for me to answer that, I'd be like, oh, I won't listen to it.
Yeah. Like, there's definitely been some stuff that come out about some artists, and I haven't been able to listen the same way.
Yeah.
But it's a very tricky thing.
It is.
Like, especially when it comes to, like, a band or something. There's five other members, too. Like, one of five can't, well, unfortunately, does speak volumes about the whole band. But in my opinion, there's five other people with families and stuff to support who put their life into investing in something.
Exactly.
Like, I won't be out promoting it, like,
yeah,
if something was obviously true and proven true and everything. But it's just, it's a very sticky.
So then two things, like, more questions pop up because this question is the fact that now, what if there's a movie that's used the song? Do we not watch the entire movie?
Yeah, it's like, do we pull it from every sync he got? Do we pull it from every movie trailer?
Right. Like, now, do we punish his estate as well? His children? But now his children are pretty old, so they should have their own jobs. They can't just live off their parents. Like, a bunch of stuff comes in. I think the simple answer for me, like, for instance, Kevin Spacey, that would be, like, something close to my field,
mm-hmm.
his work. I probably won't watch his work again.
Yeah.
There's just too much weirdness surrounding this, the whole event, mm-hmm. especially the way he came out about it. He didn't apologize, and the incident that happened with, what's his name? I forget the guy when he was a teenager at his house. Anthony Rappaport.
It's rap.
Rap, yeah. I like the way you emphasize that. I don't know why. It's rap. I don't know. It made me laugh. I don't think I'd go rewatch the first few seasons of, what's it called? House of Cards, mm-hmm. and be like, I'm really enjoying this now. Guilt-free.
Yeah.
Especially after the video.
Yeah. And, the incident with him and the guy at the bar. I think the issue I have with is this. It's not the fact that he's gay or I do have an issue with him hitting on or trying to hit on underage boys years mm-hmm. ago. That's a problem. But it's whenever the incident with the kid at the bar and the guy at the bar was like, hey, I have a girlfriend. I'm not interested. And he kept pushing it and mm-hmm. he kept pushing it. That's the stuff I hate seeing.
Yeah.
When somebody says no and the person keeps going, like, it's not one of those no's where it's like, no.
Yeah.
It's like, no, stop it.
Yeah.
They keep going.
Get back or you're getting tasered.
Exactly. I have a huge problem with that because I see it at bars. I used to see it a lot more at bars and it would drive me fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, I went on a rant.
I was actually talking about this with someone yesterday. I think it was my hairdresser, actually. I was saying how, like,
okay.
one of my favorite things to do at a bar is, like, when I'm with a friend who's a girl or something, and some dude's, like, being an asshole and just, like, weird. Like, knock on wood, almost 27, haven't been punched in the face yet.
Great.
But I'll pretend to be the girl's boyfriend.
Oh, nice.
And the dude, I love seeing their face. Like, it's so fulfilling to see how bummed out they are and pissed off. Because, like, I'm not a small guy. I'm, like, 6'3", like... 235-ish, 240 pounds. Like,
yeah.
No muscle currently.
But you got muscle. You got muscle.
But, like, if you don't know me, I'd probably look a little bit intimidating.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just so funny. Like, this one instance, I was in a bar in Studio City. And my two friends were going up to get shots. One was nice enough to buy me one. And this guy was trying to buy them shots.
Mm.
And I, like, go up there. I see what's going on. And he's like, I'll buy you two shots. But not the guy. I don't buy guy shots. And I'm like, sick. I don't have to buy shots to impress girls. I got my girl a car last week and just put my arm around her. And he's just like, wait, really? And she's like, yeah, you see that Prius in the parking lot? It's mine. And he, like, looks at me. He's like, respect. He's like, shake my hand. And I go, I don't shake hands with guys. And he got so pissed. And then I tried to buy him, like, the gnarliest shot. Pass it across the bar. The bartender cut him off because he was just so drunk.
I don't get guys like that though. Like it's so primitive. It's so like showy off, and I don't know. I'm just so past that point, that chapter.
Yeah,
that early chapter in my life. I don't know when that happened. I don't think that was a chapter in my life.
It's like, why do you have to be showy? Here I am, like, I'm drinking a 7-Eleven coffee. There's literally nothing wrong with 7-Eleven coffee. It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Can I smell it?
Yeah, go for it. It might smell like mint and peanuts from my breath. Oh. Are you allergic to peanuts?
I swear to God, I thought you said something else. I thought you said mint and peanuts. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What? No, it smells good.
Yeah, it's like a Brazilian blend. Like, I won't lie to you, it's no five-star mom-and-pop pour-over coffee.
Does it smell like a Brazilian tree nutted in your mouth?
It might. I haven't been to Brazil yet, but if I do go to Brazil, I will try to get a tree to nut in my mouth to compare it to this taste.
Yeah.
And then, like, the hoodie I'm wearing, I was this artist Riley, good homie of mine, incredible artist, everyone should check out. Like, it's free. It's like, it's a nice hoodie. He was nice enough to give it to me for free. It's like, why do you got to be flashy? Like...
That's flashy?
No, I'm saying, why do people, and I'm sure the shirt yeah. I have underneath this, I don't even know what I'm wearing right now.
You know what?
Actually, it's one of my dad's Harley shirts. Didn't pay for that either.
You know, I don't mind if people want to, like, dress nice. It's the showy off aspect of it. And it's not like a little bit that bothers me. It's like the really, like, oh, check it out.
Yeah.
What I'm wearing.
Like,
you know?
Putting an outfit of the day on their Instagram story every morning and them purposely raising their heel enough so you could see the red to know it's whatever that designer is.
Yeah.
Whatever my sister always begs my uncle for. What is it called? Jimmy Choo? No, not Jimmy Choo. Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton. Oh my God. You call it Louis Vuitton. I love you even more. Right.
Yeah. I think the shoes are called Louis Vuitton, though.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton.
Oh, they're Louis Vuitton?
I'm questioning. Is it Louis?
I think it's Louis.
Louis Vuitton.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All four of us don't know what the fuck we're talking about. There's somebody listening to this just going, ah!
Some girl was in love with us all before the show started. Right. We just blew it. Guys, we fucking blew it.
I know. How were you good on time?
We got, it's 6 minutes.
All right.
Tight.
Wait, four minutes.
I have a video.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's the video?
How to pronounce Louis Vuitton the right way.
All right. Let's...
Now, I know there's a designer named Louis Vuitton, but I think the shoes are called Louboutins for whatever reason.
Are you talking about Louboutin?
Yes, that.
Oh, I don't know. There's a Louboutin?
Yeah, it's not what you guys think.
Okay.
It's a very, quote-unquote, high-end shoe that that has a red bottom that are so obnoxious.
While you're pulling that up, when we come back from the break, we're going to figure out how to pronounce it. Oh,
this is Louboutin.
Yes, those are the shoes I was talking about.
I mean, we don't need to know, because it's Louboutin. It's misunderstanding. Louis Vuitton is...
The designer.
Pronounced the way it is. This is Louboutin.
That's way too close of a name. Who came first?
I think probably the egg.
And they're both shoes?
And they're both shoes. Or, well, I think Louis Vuitton makes other stuff. Oh, by the way, I actually walked into a Louis Vuitton store. Louis Vuitton, not Louboutin.
I think you get those at Nordstrom or something.
Dude, saw the ugliest shoes in my life. Guess how much they cost?
$480.
Double it. Almost $1,000.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, hey, fuck you. How about that?
You put your piece of gum underneath the shoe to see how repellent it was. It's like, my shoe can't have gum.
Dude, you know what? When we come back from the break, you're going to show us a picture from Emo Night.
Yes, Emo Night picture.
The Emo Night story, which I want to hear about. We're going to figure out how to properly pronounce it, and then I'm going to show you guys the ugliest fucking shoe I've ever seen in my life that costs like $1,000.
Damn.
It's going to be an angry second half. All right, we'll be right back. So Ray-Bans, huh?
Are they?
They are.
Sorry. Remember last segment when I talked about not being flashy? I'm sorry, guys.
No, you're such a poser. No,
I know.
I'm kidding.
Typically, like when I travel and stuff, I'll only wear like cheap Warped Tour sunglasses because I'll always buy them on Warped Tour or a band would be nice enough to give them to me. So I have like 10 to 15 pairs of like not as nice sunglasses, but they do the job and they look good.
I have Ray-Bans. I like them. Yeah. I have ones that are scratched up, so I don't care what happens to them.
Yeah, like I've been wearing the same style of Ray-Bans definitely for 5+ years at this point, and I just hate change. I'm like, I settled into my comfort zone.
Yeah. I want to see, I got a peek of this on the break. That picture, that's a funny picture of you. So what's the story with this picture?
So Emo Night asked me if I could help DJ Tech and be in charge of the DJs for the night.
Who's Emo Night?
Emo Night is it's a party that's thrown in Los Angeles every first Tuesday of the month at the Echoplex. It's an incredible thing for the community where they highlight the music that my generation grew up on, your generation grew up on. But I know you're a hardcore kid. They play some hardcore stuff, but like it's mostly emo music. Like
Emo.
Yeah, Taking Back Sunday, Starting Line, yes. Good Charlotte, like bands like that. They'll like really highlight what they did and people dance to it, which is the coolest thing to see because it never had like a really crazy mainstream push. Mm-hmm. So it's like crazy seeing like there'll be blocks and blocks of people. Like the line will go around the block. So I worked it and they always have really cool guests like Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 was a DJ once. Like, Skrillex came and DJed. Chainsmokers. Like, they get some really awesome guests. So my first time actually doing it and helping out or working for them, it was awesome. Like, they had awesome guests. They had Vic from Pierce the Veil. Awesome band. Check them out if you haven't. I love that band. Daryl Palumbo of Glassjaw and Head Automatica. You probably know Glassjaw.
Maybe.
Yeah, they were... They were like Long Island's hometown heroes. Everyone wanted to be like Glassjaw and Daryl Palumbo in general because he went from like hardcore to pop, which was so cool. Then Noah Cyrus and Diablo hopped up there, which is awesome. Diablo is a cool DJ, and Noah Cyrus is an artist who's awesome.
Yeah.
Then Travis from We the Kings hopped up, and We the Kings, one of my favorite bands for sure. I love their music, and I've gotten to know Travis a little bit over the years and stuff, which is awesome. So I get them all set up and stuff. And the last song he does, Demi Lovato hopped on stage with him. So pictures being taken, whatever. I'm like, please, God, everything go right. Please, God, everything go right. Fish, don't blow this. Don't blow it. And so the picture that gets posted and then ends up on every publication, incredible picture of what's going on. Like Travis having a great time, Demi having an incredible time, singing Misery Business by Paramore. I'm in the back chewing gum. And presumably, it looks like I'm about to blow a bubble, but the way it got colored and everything, I chew blue gum all the time. Blue 5 gum. It's a cobalt flavor? Peppermint? I don't know.
Cobalt?
I think it's
like
called
cobalt. Chemical or the mineral?
Let's see. It's called peppermint cobalt.
Okay.
5 gum. Please sponsor me. And so I guess I'm like blowing a bubble, and my tongue's out with the... gum on it, and the way it was colored, it looks like I'm having a seizure in the background. And we're gonna pull that picture up real quick.
Can we pull it up,
please? And please hit the Apple button and then the plus sign.
The plus sign.
Yep.
Oh, keep going.
Keep going.
Oh yeah, there it is. And I got tagged in it so many times the next day.
Dude, it looks like your mouth is frothing.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And it wasn't, though. It wasn't one of those nights.
You look like you're in love with Demi.
She was really awesome. I respect what she does so much. Mm. I think she's an incredible artist, an incredible singer, and we had very few words between us. I was like, hey, good job, and she said thank you and like smiled, and I was like, you seem like a very awesome, genuine person, and I've been a fan of her music for years now.
You know, I probably heard her music. I can't think of anything that she's played of.
She has that song that was like really big, Sorry Not Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely heard that one. That one's more recent. Cool for the Summer is a more recent one. And then I was like a Disney kid, so naturally I like knew every single word to every song. And like her first album she put out was like very pop rock, actually.
Yeah. Did she sing that song, My Name Is No, My Sign Is No, My Name Is No,
no, that's, you better let it go. Megan Trainor.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not good at this.
you think that's Demi Lovato, and I thought you were Wee Sam from Free the People.
Oh, man. Oh, going back to like people. I don't know why this just popped up in my head. Remember As I Lay Dying? Are you familiar with this band?
Yep.
Yeah, how like the lead singer got convicted for trying to hire somebody to kill his wife.
Yeah.
And now like the band found a new lead singer, and I think they're making music again with this new person. I don't know why this popped into my head, but I think that's okay to keep listening to their music. Now, do you listen to their old music as well? Would that be okay to do?
I don't know. I don't know. We're gonna have to ask. We're gonna have to ask someone
smarter.
Yeah. I don't know. We have to ask the wizard.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I jump back to that subject, but it keeps popping into my head for some reason. Like, I don't know what's okay anymore to do with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, obviously it depends on what happened. It's like you see all those like kid stars who get busted for like coke or like a DWI or something by the time they're like 23-ish.
Yeah,
it's like we all do stupid shit. They're just people. Like we can't not watch this one show because the one dude got busted on a DWI. Yeah, really stupid.
Yeah,
easily avoidable, but it's like. Stuff like that, I feel like you can't crucify people for.
Yeah, and then when is like the – that's also something that's debated. When is the time for them allowed to come back? Like the whole Aziz Ansari thing, you know, he took time and then
his and whole he was thing actually was, proven completely innocent from what I remember, right?
It wasn't even like a typical – she said she felt like – I think I'm being very vague on this. She said she felt sexually assaulted. Long story short, I listened to everything and I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like your typical, no, you weren't like that. Yeah. At the end of the day, I was like, I don't think so. And then he like took some time off. He's like, you know what? I was looking back on it. I could have been better. And then like people still gave him shit for like, no, you can't come back ever again. Like die, like go like, okay, well.
And I think that has to do with like internet culture right now. Cause like I could get on my phone right now.
Yeah.
And tweet out. We Sam just took an upper decker at the Adobe studio. Fuck this dude.
What's an upper decker?
When you take a dump in the top part of a toilet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's probably going to happen.
And like there like obviously it's not true. Could easily be proven it's not true. But yeah, it might be true. But it's like if that's someone's first impression of you, they'll be like, "Oh, that's We Sam. I know who he is cuz he took a dump in the Adobe top part of the toilet."
Yeah.
And that's where internet culture and kids and then trolls, it's like, what's there to believe anymore? Like, kids and even adults aren't using the internet responsibly, I feel like. And I feel like a lot of people are jumping to conclusions when, one, they're not there. Two, they don't have enough knowledge. Three, they know it's going to get reposted and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, people are more in it for the fame of tweeting something rather than raising awareness, in my opinion.
Yeah. Or finding out what truly is right to do, and is this a case by case, you know,
and like
thing
all
we
those
dissect,
and then like something that really pisses me off and really like gets under my skin are all these like accounts like, in a way, glorifying mental health, and you know they're only doing it to be relatable and don't really care about the subject at hand,
yeah.
And like it's very easy to see
or selective outrage.
Yeah, it's like they'll get mad at so say person A and person B, like person A goes and like kicks someone in the balls and runs away.
Right.
It's like, ha, ah, that was so funny. What a good gimmick. Person B does it. They're like, he's a horrible person. He could have given lifelong damage to this person. And it's like, no, they literally did the same thing in the same context.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't have this double standard.
I know. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Cherry picking. You know,
yeah,
cherry
exactly.
Picking your beliefs and then like condemning people who don't.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, guys.
Don't cherry pick. Drink the whole smoothie.
Okay. Ooh, that should be a shirt.
Well, you heard it here first.
Or don't drink the smoothie.
But let the smoothie decide.
Yeah. Dude, we're so smart.
Yes. We're getting philosophical here. I got secondhand high while DJing, so now we're philosophical.
But no, man, you hit it right on the nose. I don't know the facts in 99.99% of these things. Like, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I know we talked about it on my Guys Night podcast a little bit. The whole Jesse Smollett thing.
I don't know who that is. Oh, yeah. No, that's...
Now, he just got indicted on 16 counts.
I don't like talking politics or anything like this.
But, oh, sorry.
But the way you're going about it, I thoroughly enjoy having a very non-biased conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, and both of us seeing our point. But the thing with the Jesse thing, if obviously the judicial system has... No, he was indicted. He wasn't proven guilty.
He was indicted on the accounts, which
so does
means
that, mean...
that there was enough evidence to indict him. And then from there, he can either have a trial and fight against it, or he can go into a plea bargain with the prosecutors. Look at me, dude. I'm so fucking smart now that I'm on a lawyer show.
He's on season two, guys.
Season two. I'm a lawyer now, basically.
Pretty much a lawyer.
I'm pretty much a lawyer.
So my problem with that whole thing, if he is proven guilty, it's like, dude, you set progress back 50 fucking years by pulling some shit like that because you know he's going to have extreme fans that are going to make it a political agenda against the race that he claimed did it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's going to be a small percentage of people. Some people would like be like, no, this is not that what he did was wrong, and you're undermining people who have actually been affected by it. That's the issue, though. Even with this case, though, there is a certain amount of facts that can be released because it's an ongoing trial. So we won't know all of it until everything's been released or the trial or whatever plea bargain they've done with. But, I mean, it just seems fishy.
Yeah.
From the very beginning. I don't know, man. It's just... And people are like, well, would somebody actually do that? Yeah.
There's some sick fucks out there.
Dude, I'm telling you. Yes. People would actually do that. But at the same time, there are people out there who've actually been attacked like this, too.
Yeah.
That's the fucked up part. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. A lot of these things that I see online now, I've been trying to be better at this. Be like, wait a minute. Before I form an opinion, I got to know everything that's going on. And since I don't know about everything that's going on, my opinion is kind of like, well, based on these things, again, I don't know if it's the whole story, I kind of lean this way, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
Yeah, it's like if someone has 1.1 million Twitter followers and they tweet out their opinion on it, it's going to sway 1.1 million people.
Yeah.
And does that person with those followers, were they there? Did they do their proper research? Did they have a lie detector test? Did they do fingerprinting? Was there any forensics involved? No, it could have just, like, what's his name? The SpaceX dude.
Elon Musk.
He went on like a crazy acid trip or something and tweeted some crazy shit from what I heard. Mm. And it's like, yeah, you have no choice but to believe him, but the dude was on acid and like not really logically tweeting. And didn't that cause him like lose most of his company or something?
Was he on acid?
That's what I heard.
I don't know if I can't even comment on that because I don't know what had happened.
He was like, I don't know what he was doing, but I mean, I fuck with SpaceX. SpaceX, sponsor me. Well,
yeah, they're definitely going to sponsor you.
Yeah.
I know that on the when he was on Joe Rogan Experience, it was so shocking to me that they were drinking the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then he took a puff of like marijuana and there was so much outrage over it.
Yeah.
His stock company, the stock decreased a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Then he tweeted some wild stuff and then it decreased even.
Banks says he was on acid.
Okay, yeah, that's what I said. I mean, that's what I heard. Yeah,
It's a
very.
I don't know anymore.
There's so much information out there, which is so awesome. But I'll use this quote from Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire in it.
Okay.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
Uncle Ben said that. Then Uncle Ben got shot. I cried and made my family leave the movie.
You what? Sir, what?
I was in the movie theater, and Uncle Ben got shot and killed in the movie after he said that, and I cried. It was my dad's birthday, and we were going to see Spider-Man. I cried, and we had to leave. I got so emotional over Uncle Ben.
So, dude, how old were you?
Probably 10 or 11.
Okay.
I was 22.
That's not as questionable as my parents took us to go watch Gladiator, my sister and I, because I really wanted to see it. But my sister was probably too young at that point to watch it.
Yeah.
So she started crying after the opening battle scene, and then we had to leave and watch Dinosaur.
Wow.
It was rough.
That movie.
I hated that movie just because.
Peyton just said he loves that movie for those
Dinosaurs
for our listeners.
By Disney.
Yeah.
CGI at its finest.
Well, I'm sure it was a good movie.
It was. I have.
Do you know the only movie that's going to be?
I have a vendetta against Dinosaur because it prevented me from watching Gladiator.
I love it. I feel like CGI is going to really – it's going to get one-upped by Toy Story 4. Very high expectations for this movie.
I haven't seen the third one.
It's a crier.
That's the best one.
It was – I grew up the same age as Andy.
Nice.
So when the movies came out, I was always that age, and I remember going to see it with my family, Toy Story 3, because Toy Story is like my favorite movie. And and the scene with him going to college and leaving Woody and Buzz and all his toys back there, I was like, don't worry, Mom. I'm never going to go to college and leave you. Oh, and then wow. I didn't.
And I didn't.
Thank you, Toy Story 3. Sponsor me. Sponsored by GED.
Fish is sponsored by SpaceX, Toy Story, Cobalt, the mineral, not the gum.
Yeah, just the mineral. 7-Eleven coffee.
7-Eleven coffee.
Brazilian blend.
Yes. the country of Brazil sponsors Fish.
Brazil loves fish. Buy the t-shirt at fishesbrazilianstore.com.
Dude, that is the weirdest combination of sponsors I've ever heard of in my life.
It's like a stock portfolio. You got to be diverse.
Do you know what? Very true, sir. Very, very true. You got to have a celebrity endorsement, too.
Yes.
It's just a... Demi?
No. She's too nice and talented to sponsor me. Stephen Jenkins. He's also talented.
Who is Stephen Jenkins?
The singer of Third Eye Blind.
Okay.
He's written some of the most iconic songs that through the years I somehow relate to more and more every day.
I know. You want him on your show?
What up?
You want him on your show?
I would love that.
I don't know. I'm just getting your hopes up for no reason.
Stephen Jenkins, sponsor me and come on my show. And please talk about every song ever. I love Third Eye Blind.
Are you listening to anything new nowadays?
Yes. Like so much new music.
I know.
There's
it's overwhelming, though, man.
Yeah. It's very overwhelming. And part of 90% of my job, I'm wearing headphones listening to Adobe-branded stuff. So it's like, by the time I get out, honestly, I don't want to really listen to music unless I fully, fully am emerged and enjoy it. But the main are coming out with a new album. They just put on this incredible festival in Arizona called 8123 Fest. It was the second one they've done. 5,000 kids showed up, and they were like, who here's from Phoenix? Like, you heard a lot of people scream.
Yeah.
And then they're like, who traveled from out of town? Dude, like, most of the crowd traveled to Phoenix for this festival. It was like the main Mayday Parade, Real Friends, the Technicolors, Twin XL. Look on the lineup online. I'm sure you could search it. And it was so crazy to see, because I remember I started listening to Maine probably 10 plus years ago when they were on MySpace putting up demos, like super pop band, super trendy. And they've progressed into this incredible rock band. And if you listen to music, it was the same guitar parts.
Yeah.
Just little different effects. And this band is just so good. They have a new album coming out on the 29th, actually, called You Are Okay. And it's the first band in a really long time where I genuinely feel like a fan. Like, I drove 6 hours to Phoenix or 8 hours with some friends, bummed it just so I could, like, basically not have to pay for hotels or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, they put tickets up for sale for their show on the April 14th. They're doing, like, a little release show. There I was at my computer 10 a.m., like, refresh, refresh, refresh. And I got my tickets, and then it sold out, and I was like, yeah. So I love that band more than anything. The Mowglis, they're not a new band, but they just put out a new EP. It's incredible. I can't stop listening to that band. Twin XL just put out their debut EP, How to Talk to Strangers. And they're so tight. I love that band. The Stolen, The Wildlife, no vowels in Wildlife except for the E. Riley's awesome. Chase Atlantic. Oh, I could go on forever.
Wow. Do you, since you've been immersed in music and you've played a little bit yourself, do you have any advice for, like, artists out there, musicians specifically, who want to put their music out there and but are kind of, like, hesitant because it's so saturated?
Yeah. I'll reference someone else who gave me advice.
Okay.
When I was literally the night before I started high school, my dad knew the security guards or the security team at Webster Hall, and I was lucky enough to get in for this, like, MTV event. And it was Taking Back Sunday and 30 Seconds to Mars. 30 Seconds to Mars was opening for Taking Back Sunday. And they're both massive bands, but 30 Seconds to Mars is playing, like, arenas across the world. Like, it's Jared Leto's band. It's, like, killing it. So I was standing there, and I remember watching 30 Seconds to Mars set. I'd never seen anything like it at that point. And I was like, this dude is so cool. I woke up this morning and thought the same thing a bunch of years later. But I asked him for advice because I was playing music at the time. Like, no one really wanted to be in my band. I was a fat, awkward kid. Probably wasn't the best at guitar, but you know what? I had heart. But he told me, he's like, yeah, never take, like, your parents' opinion or your friend's opinion. Always take strangers' opinions. So I feel like artists just have to throw themselves out there. And to be an artist, I feel like you have to be very vulnerable and very transparent. Like, say if you're, like, someone goofy like me. Like, I don't really take shit seriously. Don't really care to. And, like, imagine I came on your show and I was like, so Wissam, about the stocks and NASDAQs, really
yeah.
don't. It's like, don't pretend to be anyone. Just be yourself. And people will gravitate towards that because they'll see it's relatable. It's real. And the point of making music, in my opinion, is to reach masses that you could relate to and help someone through something. Like, whether it put them in a good mood, put them in a bad mood. Like, it's good to have feelings. So if you're an artist out there, just put out your music. Just do it.
Like,
what's
that
holding you back? You put it up for free online. It's, you don't have to pay for it. Just throw it on YouTube. Throw it on SoundCloud. Like, send it to some people. Like, what's the worst you could hear? No.
Yeah.
But if you hear no, just remember, that's one stream because they definitely listened.
I like that attitude, man.
Yeah.
It can get overwhelming and intimidating for artists to put their work out there because, you know, they should be investing a lot of time into it and a lot of sacrifice, blood, sweat, and tears, that kind of thing. And so they're scared whenever the possibility of someone going, man, this sucks or it's bad. And that's kind of like a double-edged sword. It's like,
yeah,
that's expected. Not everybody's going to like your music. And if there's a certain amount of people saying that, oh, this sucks, or and technically this isn't good, maybe that's an opportunity for you to improve or to evolve. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's like, you know what? They said that, but there's a larger group of people that seem to really like it. So,
like, look at Imagine Dragons, for example. Like, one of the biggest bands in the world. Imagine Dragons, like, what time is it right now? It's 10:41. And Imagine Dragons could be like, hey, we're playing Staples Center tonight. You know it's going to be sold out, but there's people online, Imagine Dragons is the worst band in the world, blah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I did see one really funny meme that made me laugh, though. I will say that. Like, they had, like, one meme. It was like, Imagine Dragons' only job is to make your cousin want to join the army. I thought it was hysterical. I still love Imagine Dragons. But, like, Nickelback, like, why are people hating on Nickelback? Imagine Dragons, like, man, I wish that many people hated me and I was that talented and successful.
I'm not a fan of Nickelback, and I really just don't like that type of music. But it's really interesting to me. It's fun to hate things.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
and
like,
because
why?
You feel like a community. Oh, you hate this? Oh, I hate this too. Let's hate together. That feels good.
And isn't that, like, the total opposite of what's going on in the world right now? We're trying to be, like, more accepting of everything. Like, we accept everyone and everything. But, like, say 10 people don't like something, it becomes a cult of hatred. So I've been guilty of it in the past. Definitely been guilty of it probably recently, too. And I try to catch myself. Like,
yeah,
anyone that says this song sucks or this song is garbage or this band sucks, you suck. I suck for saying it. I feel like the proper conversation and wording in English behind it should be, it's not for me. Because, like,
well,
what are you drinking right now?
Some herba mate, green tea.
That shit sucks.
You're off brand, Wissam.
Yeah.
I am
Michael. I don't like green tea.
Okay.
Yeah, but you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I should say, oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's how the conversation should go.
Okay. How about this, though? Let's say I'm drinking a cup of poop.
Mm-hmm. There's a market for everything.
You know what? That's very true, sir. That market is probably really small. I think what you're saying 99.9% of the time is true. I'll give you an example of an artist that I really dislike.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West.
Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of things he says. I went to see one of his tours, and I thought it was absolutely the most sacrilegious thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he's a creative genius? Yes. Do I
really?
Yeah. Like, think about it. Like, his marketing and everything behind himself. I don't know him. I don't know his team. But the way he perceives himself online, what's one thing he does no matter what? Gets people talking.
Okay. That's true. The marketing aspect is great.
And then what happens is, like, say this, like, 62-year-old like mom in the middle of the woods in wherever there's woods. I don't know where there's woods. But she like reads something online like Kanye West wears Make America Great hat again, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, who's Kanye West? She's going to go on Spotify or YouTube or something, listen to Kanye West. Do you know who makes money on that? Kanye West. Because how many people are like this 62-year-old woman in the middle of the woods who are now looking up Kanye West? Like, it was a very niche market, I feel like, at first for Kanye. Like, dude, some of his, like, College Dropout, like, those albums are fire. Like, they're so good. Their songs on it, definitely not for me. But, dude, so good. But imagine going from a hip-hop artist to a household name like that.
I get that part. And if your goal is to make money, then okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think a good question to ask yourself is, what are you sacrificing for that?
Yeah.
What are you putting out there into the world?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying the guy's talentless. Mm-hmm. No, he has talent for sure. His marketing, very smart, very creative. However, I don't think he's creating a positive impact with it. That's my opinion.
You know what? There's definitely some things I see him say, and I totally agree with you.
Imagine having that much influence on people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of power. Like Uncle Ben said, mm-hmm. great responsibility. Cool, man.
But also, it's like, what's a gimmick? Like, what's literally there to get people talking? And if you go to a show, is he going to preach something completely different because he has you there in person?
Exactly.
So you have to, like, look into it. Not you personally, just like a very general statement. Mm. Everyone has to look into things like that a little bit more rather than hopping on that bandwagon.
Absolutely. Mr. Fishkin, thank you for coming on the show today, brother.
It's over?
I know. It went by so quick. It's almost 11.
I could do this for like at least three more.
Well, you're coming back on. I hope so. And we're gonna have an extended episode, me and you, because there's so much more I want to talk to you about.
Hell yeah.
Again, thank you for coming in early.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, brother. You're a class act. Your show, Gone Fishkin, is on 6 p.m. Eastern.
6 p.m. Pacific time.
6 p.m. Pacific time broadcast here on Adobe Radio. It's 2 hours long. It's live. It's one of the best radio shows I've been on. It was such a blast. Thanks, man, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's play the music. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. We appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you, Mike and Peyton.
Yes, Mike and Peyton. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Steph, our social media producer. Thank you to Adobe Radio. Thank you to Nice Guy Digital. We appreciate everything you guys do. If you're a fan of the show, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube so you can watch us. And also subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. And we're also on Spotify for you guys, for you Android users as well. Thank you so much for our new reviewers, our new followers. We appreciate you guys so much. Make sure you tune in and stay up to date with everything.
Yeah, and check out For the People every Wednesday night.
Thursday night.
Thursday night at 8 p.m.?
No, 10. It's Thursday night at 10 p.m.
Listen
Pacific,
to Foster
9
the
Central.
People.
All right, guys.